Hey there, this is the Breach Burnt Podcast. Got a kind of smattering of topics, mostly going to be covering the recent errata that happened and kind of what makes us excited about it. Probably won't go through every model in detail, but kind of some highlights and then maybe some random topics at the end. So got Zach and Scott with me. Welcome.
Hey, long time no having all three of us on at the same time, so that's good.
It's been a hectic couple of months, honestly.
Yeah, I was moving this last month, so I've been busy, so.
Yeah, it kind of makes recording difficult, since we are contractually obligated to have you introduce 99% of all episodes.
Well, if we're talking about errata stuff that makes me excited, we can just skip right on down to the purple section of errata.
Oh boy, you got things that got touched, and it wasn't all bad.
None of it was bad.
Yeah.
None of it
was bad.
All right, I will skip on down there, Neverborn.
And we can just put it out into the ether that Dixon and I from Rage Quit Wire are officially beefing, because he was talking very much down on the Hounds. And I'm here to tell you, the Hounds are here to stay. There is some cheese to get a bunch of them out in a turn. I think that's fine. But just the fact that in the Nephilim keyword, you can spend three stones, and over the course of the game, summon up to three more. I have never done it, but I've pretty consistently summoned one or two more. They're significant models with Nimble and move six. They're very good. Even if they were still 3 HP, now that you can have multiple of them, they're good. They can get points.
Yeah, James. I mean, the last time you and I played, you brought these out with great excitement. And I learned pretty quick that if I don't pay attention to them, you're going to be swarming a corner of the board with these stupid little mutts.
Yeah. And you know, you can make them pretty annoying to get to. You definitely still don't want to put them up very quick. Maybe even keeping them back until turn two. But you can make it pretty annoying for your opponent to get to them. They don't, like, ignore terrain or anything, so, you know, that is definitely a consideration, but they require very little resources. Nikima, too, specifically, has a lot of ability to cycle an ass load of cards and get you that six of crows you need. So, yeah, I love the Hounds. Definitely a big winner for Neverborn, although we can also go right into Angel Eyes.
I don't know what that is.
Well, kind of touching on the Hounds, too, is
sure.
What I think is, if you are swarming something, if you're just wanting them to be a piece that's going to annoy your opponent, I think they do rather well, because when they're attacking, if assuming you're playing Titania 2, Nekoma 2, that if they hit, they're probably going to do a point of damage, and if they miss, they're probably going to do a point of damage. And since you have good card cycling, even if one or two dies, you can bring another one back. If you were to take out a keyword woe, you can potentially get all four of them out turn one. But I don't think that's a winning strategy, especially in a tournament where a lot of tournaments play bans and 90% of people ban woe. So if you're making a plan around that, probably not a good idea for competitive play. But I think it'd be fun, you know, to get all four out turn one and then just start swarming. Also,
are they a zero-inch melee?
Yes, they are zero-inch.
Okay.
And then
I was about to say, they could be just like a group of engagement ranges. But, I mean, even then, like, you're having yourself a swarm of little shits come up
they can attack something. If you do their free action nimble, they can get to something, you know, assuming a straight line 18 inches away. And
right.
If you really want to be kind of masochistic with your dogs, you could bring Tuco. And he could throw out his shockwave, hit the dogs. They all bleed all over everything. And if the model that's also in combat with the dogs fails, that's another three damage. So you could do that. I mean, obviously, you're almost killing the dogs at that point, because that's three damage to a four wound model. But I mean, something you do if you want to get some irresistible damage against something.
Even then, though, like I'm just seeing them as like they're quick little things that you can just kind of spawn out a bunch of them, and then just like beeline them towards like one of your opponent's like scoring models, and just like, here, just deal with this. Waste AP dealing with this, otherwise you're not going to score because this thing's going to be sitting right next to you. And then you could just, when they kill it, you just bark yourself up a new one and launch another one in there.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Blood Hunter, except for they can score you points. And they're more similar to a 3 AP model. Four
Sure.
three stumps.
Yep, I
Yeah,
just,
having Nimble is great.
yeah, I think you are definitely going to be seeing these with Nekoma 2 specifically. Whether you see him competitively, I don't know, but hey, it'll be fun to give it a try.
Hey, at least it's cool. And it's, I mean, it's still better than the twins, so.
I think that was a shot at you, James.
That's for another episode. But I actually had a very good game with Lily 2 very recently.
Oh.
We're not going to talk about that.
We won't talk about that.
But Angel Eyes. Yes.
Angel Eyes, some people are saying, is now the best gun in the game. And I don't know, I disagree. I can't think of one that's better at the cost. She's now min 3, I guess, so that's something. But she got all the good stuff. Not a
mean
ton
all the
changed
things
on
that
her,
make.
honestly, but the cost going down and good triggers.
All the things needed to actually be a decent sniper.
And I absolutely love that new free action where she could pull a focus off another model to give herself focus. And, cost three dogs, so they focus here. I'll take that focus off you. Yeah, that is money right there. Easy way to get a 24-inch focus shot off turn one and kill something.
So, design space wise, are there many other things that pass focus around like that? Like transferring it from models?
Not taking from and giving it to another model, but I know there's like the Gearlings before the nerf, if something focused around them, they could pass it out and stuff like that, but not that specific way of getting focus from another model.
No, I guess I'm just saying now, just like learning that I enjoy this design space much better than like focus bombs and such. Just in terms of like AP economy and actually like making actions matter. I enjoy just the concept of like you're gaining your value by taking focus from a lower value AP model and moving it onto one that's better for it. And I mean, focus on a sniper is exactly where you want to have it. So, like you said, yeah, you can have a dog focus, and then pull that off and put it onto her, and it's for a bonus, right? So, you're not wasting AP doing it. It's I like the concept. I like the design space. I think it's something I'd like to see more of rather than blanket pulses of additions.
Yeah, and also too, again, if you're taking it into a crew with the dogs, Black Blood Shaman passes out a lot of focus. I can't remember off the top of my head if that only goes to keyworded models, which Angel Eyes couldn't get it,
Yeah,
but she could
I
pull it off
think,
something else.
yeah, I'm pretty sure that was changed to keyword only.
It's definitely keyword only, but yeah, in Nephilim specifically, you have a lot of these shitty models that you don't really care if they live or die, like Blood Hunter and or Corrupted Hounds, that you could maybe
Tear
use the
tots.
focus for like their tactical actions in the instance of the Hounds, but otherwise they're just there to be a corpse later. So, or the tots, sure, works in a pinch. So yeah, Angel Eyes is great. I've tried her out a little bit. When you are able to get that blood offering trigger, when that goes off, you feel like a champ. It's a great trigger that's on a bunch of the half-bloods. So, yeah, she's cool.
Neverborn has a gun now. Shut up about it.
Yeah, it's the only good one, so.
Except for Dreamers, but that one doesn't count.
We have some weird ones, but this is the objectively good one.
Well, I mean, Dreamer's gun is the best gun in the game, but we just ignore that one for the narrative.
Sure.
I would disagree with that if, but sure, we can go with
Oh, we can go rounds on whether or
that.
not Twist Reality is the best gun in the game.
Yes, it is a very good gun. Is it the best one? Is the best version of it on Dreamer? I don't know about that.
I mean, yeah, maybe Yanlo, but the action itself is the best gun you could have on a model, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, Razorspine Rattler. So I haven't played it yet. I know a lot of people have been talking about it. I think it's definitely improved. Is it more easily killed? Yes. But I did face this in a game against Doug Bowman from Texas at Gen Con, and the ability that allows you not to be able to move if you're in base contact did come in handy. He had to charge my first mate, and well, guess what? You can't move away after he's attacked like normally you would with the first mate. So I was just stuck in there until I had a chance to disengage from him later on in the game. But yeah, it is a thing if you want to keep all those other things around that would normally leap or scamper or whatever the case may be. It is something that you have to be aware of with that Razorspine Rattler.
Yeah,
That's the only thing I really wanted to say about that. But yeah, it's a thing, so keep an eye out.
I mean, honestly, just like the futile struggle ability in general is like just really oppressive to people, like where you have to just kill this thing or disengage. And them I and I think they're the first recipient or one of the first recipients of Onward outside of the Explorer Society, and that's just great. Love that action, and I find it works really well with them, especially with at move six. Like, oh my God, they're fast.
Yeah, and I've heard some shade be thrown at the Rattler. Considering it's a 6-stone model, maybe in a vacuum I could see the argument that it's not very good, but the fact that it's in the Marcus keyword means you can make it defensive in the best way possible against the crew. So whether that's stealth, armor, butterfly jump, you got all the options there. So I
Yeah,
think
I
it's
mean,
definitely a viable option.
and even without that, I mean, like it's a 6 move, 6 defense, unimpeded, 3 AP moving model. Like, it can get anywhere you want it to.
Yeah, and I think the Rattler and the Slate Ridge, who wasn't even touched that much, but I think they both have a lot better place now. As compared to like the cat who was the pick before for people who aren't me.
But yeah, I think we definitely got some wins with the Neverborn. And there's some like Tuco, I think, is definitely gonna be something that people could see. I actually put it in my bag after, taking the pound of dust off of that model. And I'm actually might have to go out and buy me some Corrupted Hounds and the Half-Bloods, because I do not own those models, so I guess, damn it, Weird's making me spend my money.
Yeah. I mean, Tuco didn't get changed as much as the other two, I would say. He can shockwave now, which is really cool, which can push your own models and not hurt them. That's great. I think Maurice is probably more exciting of those two, though, because he has, what's it called? Foulmouth Motivation, which is healing and a focus in a faction that does not have that ability. So.
About to say, like, this makes him the new, like, healing versatile model other than just Serena, right? Like, that's,
It's a stone cheaper, too.
yeah, like it's a, that's a better heal,
Well, yeah.
ultimately
The
speaking.
only issue with it is that the target number is much higher. I think it's a 7 on Maurice, so you're talking
Probably.
a significantly good card as opposed to what Serena needed. So I don't know if it's going to be replace Serena, but it will definitely make people think about if they need that one model to heal. It gives you a choice.
Yeah, I mean,
If it's giving focus, I think it's worth a 7 to most people.
and it's also range 6 instead of like 3. So,
Yeah, totally.
like you can hand it out in much further away. The focus is in a faction that like relies on its damage flips. The way that Neverborn does, like you cannot go wrong with more focused overall. I think it's an absolute win, and I can see people bringing him just for that action.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad choice for it. I'm just saying that you do have to make sure if you are going to choose him over Serena, that you do have to take that in consideration. And
Oh,
again,
sure.
just like we were talking about just a little bit ago, Serena's got the best gun.
Yeah, she certainly does.
She
though
has trouble sliding.
his gun isn't so bad though. I
Mm-hmm.
mean, I'm never gonna complain about a shotgun.
Yeah, and the cool thing is too that he got the new version of backup where you can pitch a card or gain staggered to take the shot. So it just makes it more flexible, so you're more likely to take the ability. I don't think I've ever taken it with the previous version, so it's definitely nice. I think the only other thing I would mention is that all of the half-bloods now lost on the prowl and gained accomplice. And I think accomplice is one of those abilities that is easy to use poorly, so people, I think, rate it poorly, but it is extremely powerful, especially in a crew. Like, I've got Nekoma on the mind, obviously. When you have a mature hanging out, that's a very, very powerful double activation where you could easily kill multiple models.
Yeah, like just because of the nature and identity of what Neverborn is, like having this ability so readily available, setting them up to like if you need something dead and you cannot allow that thing to activate, like having readily available access to accomplice is super effective for that.
And
And we have Ancient Pact, so I mean, we can win the initiative to make that play at the top of the round, too.
Just, I mean, off the top of my head, because I haven't really thought about it too much, but with Maurice with Accomplice. So let's say you win an ish, you go with Maurice, you want to heal up your mature and give him some focus. So you heal him up, give him some focus, and then you Accomplice into him, and then he goes rip the head off some model. So that seems pretty good.
Yeah, pump a couple rounds in them, too.
Yep.
I mean, heck, I'm imagining a situation where Maurice goes, he gives focus and heals your mature, right? You blast somebody a couple times with your shotgun, potentially for min three, accomplice over to that mature, let them go to town, and then if they don't kill them and that person goes and attacks your mature back and damages them, gain staggered, shoot them again. Like they may get an action out before they actually die, because at that point they're probably on death's door, you know. So suddenly then their thought process is going to like, I can't retaliate here. I need to heal, I need to recover, I need to manipulate the board in my favor, because if I try and just sit here and swing back, Maurice is just going to blast my head off.
And it obviously doesn't have to be mature or something like that, but any BD crew that you might want to give out some free heals. But I think that's the one that
Oh,
comes
absolutely.
most to mind readily is taking them in a crew that you don't have to worry about in a versatile model worrying about getting black blooded on.
Absolutely.
So anything else you guys are excited about, maybe trying or playing?
No.
So I'm more so excited about playing against things.
Ooh, so what's the
In
top of your list?
particular, Damien, now that I'd feel like he may not just be an absolute salt mine feels bad experience. So like the changes to Damien, I mean, he got an entire rewrite. He's not the same just unfair bullshit that he was previously, where he had all the answers, you couldn't kill him, he hit you for more, he stripped your entire hand out from underneath you while cycling is like he doesn't have any of that garbage anymore. Lohith not being able to like just dump positive flips into damage flips anymore is great, because that was just an absolutely oppressive little combo there.
In that he could heal
Overall,
himself with the trigger to do it as well.
yeah, that too. So like I think Damien and company was very much like the boogeyman of Malifaux there for a bit, and I mean, I think his performance really spoke for itself. He I think was probably one of the biggest contributors to the whole Malifaux's poor balance conversations at the time. And frankly, I think it hurt the game having him out the way that he was. And so seeing this change makes me very happy because it's bringing things back down to ground a little bit more. Of course, I would still like to see him being used and see how you know things work out, but I am now excited to play against him rather than dreading the concept.
Yeah, I agree. It's always good to see him get changed with just how, like you said, oppressive he was. But I think the bigger change is what they did with the starter box, because
Oh, yes.
Damian was Damian, but the starter box, specifically the henchman, was not just affecting one keyword, but the entire faction. Specifically, there were some masters that were specifically getting a lot of help from that. And I do like the change to it, especially the fact that I had a Hinamatsu killed by someone dumping like six pass tokens at the end of the turn and moving Hinamatsu six times in hazardous terrain and killing it. So I mean, I
That's
wasn't
just
well, some old bullshit
yeah, I
there.
wasn't a little bit salty about that. Not at all. Nope, not at all. But I.
About to say, because like the Gearlings don't hand out pass tokens anymore, correct?
No, they cannot. And
Oh, thank God.
Frostrum, his thing is that he gets one and the opponent gets one. So
So you don't just get it for free.
Yeah, so like, because that was another thing. Because like, as soon as I saw the Gearlings, saw that they handed out pass tokens, I'm like, is this really what Damien needs? Does he need activation control on top of it? You know, so
Karis did pretty well with it as well, I would argue.
Well, I mean, everyone will do well having activation control. Like that is never going to be a bad thing to have. Like pass tokens are incredibly powerful, but having a generic means of handing them out to an entire faction, I think, was a step too far.
But I think almost as wild as that was, being able to hand out focus that readily was also very problematic. So I'm glad that was also addressed.
I agree. I'm very happy with all of these changes for Team Blue in general.
I'm just worried too, because those models, especially the Gearling models, were so awesome. I hope that they just don't get shelved. But I still think that they have play, maybe not as much or as prevalent as they did before the nerf, but I think we're still going to
Still
see
3 AP schemers that ignore terrain, so I don't think they're ever going to
them.
be super terrible. But yeah.
Sounds like that's the point on them. Though to continue along the same train of thought, some of our longtime listeners may recall that way early on, when Tall was first being shown off and when all those cards came out, I was very vocal about how I thought he was some old bullshit. And it seems like others agree because he got touched, and I am happy for that as well. Though Tall himself was a thing. I think it was John Watson that was like really a problem for people. I personally have not had any experiences playing against this guy. The models just hadn't gotten around to people in my area for me to do so. But how about you guys? Have you had any experiences running up against these guys and thoughts on these changes?
I
Yeah,
have
I've played a decent amount
I've
against
played
him.
a oh I'm sorry, go ahead, James.
Yeah, well, other co-host of the show, Brian, smoked me quite a few times when I was learning the anglers using Tall. Yeah, he's very strong. I don't know necessarily that. It's hard to say. It's hard to say that any individual thing is the reason why he felt so oppressive. It's really the sum of so many minor things that make him so crazy. And I've heard people say it's kind of that thing where you tell somebody what Artillerist does, and then you say, oh, and this, and this, and this. So
Right.
there were a lot of models like that. And I think the appropriate ones got touched, in my opinion. Not much more to say.
Scott?
I've played against them once or twice, and it actually I would have preferred to play against Damien too than against Tollscrew. That's
Okay.
how I
Wow, okay.
I felt about that.
Yes, just my opinions.
Yes. So I liked what they did. I don't think anything was too over the top. I know listening and to some podcasts and talking on Discords, there have been a well, I think is a vocal minority that thought Watson got hit too hard, and I disagree with that.
I mean, I looked at that card. I'm like, this is a 10 stone model.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I
He's
was like, this
still
is
maybe
a.
too good.
I'm like, this is a 10 stone model pretending he costs 7. And I'm just sitting there going, I'm like, this dude is not one stone more than a stitch together. Like, this is entirely a different realm of existence, you know?
But yeah,
So yeah, him being moved to 9 makes 100% sense to me.
I mean, I haven't played against the nerf stuff yet, so the proof will be in the pudding once they make it on the table and stuff like that. But when you could see easily two models in other keywords from this keyword, John Watson and Loaiza, you know that it was very strong. And so yeah, so I think it was good. No real complaints about it. Nothing I think that got taken out too much. But again,
Sure.
that'll be more of getting it on the table and people playing it before we can kind of really make a decision on that.
Sure. We'll get over the change log though. I'm glad to see the demise ability was removed from the King's Wall. I understand from like a fluff standpoint, but like
Oh yeah. Oh
that
yeah.
thing tur that thing turning into another model afterwards,
And a
like
significant
for
model at
the
that.
value, yeah, a significant model that's good. Like,
So,
yeah, that.
but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool thematic ability, but practically it ended up making a lot of scoring very annoying on a model that you really had to work so hard to kill in the first
Yeah.
place. It was not satisfying.
Right. And I mean, like, that was very much like reminiscent of like old school shit, what's his name? Leviticus, and how, you kill his stuff, turns into other things, you can't score any points, now they cost less, ruins all your crap, and
Oh, yeah, the
like,
Deso engine to A-bombs and such.
yeah, all that nonsense. Yeah, it was, I remember that being frustrating. And like these abilities, like reminding me of things like the Corphe Duet and whatnot, where it's like, you put all this effort in to kill it, and it just turns into other crap. But in this case, it's even worse because it was, significant model rather than, just a mannequin.
The other one that I feel like, because I just don't know a ton about Neverborn Hunter, Perdita too, but Guild Mage being touched is a good thing.
Yeah.
Can just say that real quick.
Yeah, I don't have a crap load of experience with Neverborn Hunter. I just know that she had some stupid combos that it seems like they've addressed. Another thing I would like to bring up is just like, so the 10 Thunder starter getting touched, in particularly Koji, just like turning off the whole like stupid card draw engine thing that they had going on.
Well, more than Koji's change, even is really the Wandering River Monk change, the upgrade being changed, just literally just changing the word, I believe, from instead of place it to drop fixes the whole problem.
I think
So,
it's actually, I think
yeah.
it went to a push as opposed to a place or a drop. But
Okay,
yeah,
yeah. Whatever Wandering cards, they changed it from that.
that definitely helped with that, and Yannick as well. I mean, I played against Yannick several times. I never really felt it was really oppressive, but then again, I never faced it in Von Chill, so that's why I've heard that was where the big abuse of it was. So I know I'm really not an expert on that, or along with the Perdita stuff. I had never faced Perdita 2 at all, and from what I hear, I'm lucky. So yeah, so I really can't make a opinion based off of anything other than what I've heard other people talk about.
Sure. I guess the last thing I can touch on is the Iron Matron getting changed before she technically came out. This makes sense, ultimately speaking. Like looking at the card, her basically being a 3 AP min 3 beater with a positive on damage
Getting a positive
was
from another model.
yeah it put her into master realms of damage fairly accessibly. So them just sort of shifting around that ability some, so like she has to target somebody else, she can't just move herself, like things like that. Like I think it makes sense. And I mean, like, she had Cruel Disappointment too, which previously was only on Titania, so like she was legitimately a 10 stone henchman that was pushing some master levels of damage and disruption, that adjusting that, just it makes sense ultimately.
Yeah, I've had games where I was able to get around the Iron Matron, but it was very expensive to try and tie her up, and I think I won the game, but
Yeah, but like yeah, 'cause like how do you like how many models could stand up to that, you know?
no, I had to feed
Like
her one a turn at least.
and at that point it's quite literally like feeding a master models, like, and then they still have a master that's, you know, chalking down custom terrain that's got portable gravity wells and shit.
Yeah, Terry does cool stuff for sure.
She does super cool stuff, so I'm glad they only adjusted the matron some, and they haven't messed with Tiri too heavily yet. And overall, I mean, Castor's not on here, and the Clan Pets are not on here, so.
Yeah, that one was interesting. I can see the argument for Ballyhoo being too strong. I would maybe argue against it, but
I
that's a
think
good
it's
argument.
I think it's a situation where like Ballyhoo itself may on its own be too strong, but I don't think Ballyhoo shared in the realm that Tall and Damien did, where not only are they strong, but a bunch of their models are also like above rate, you know, where it all just sort of like compiles. I think overall what I've seen of Clan Pets, most of their models are well within the realm of acceptability so far, at least. I mean, nobody's cracked them against me yet, but
I would argue they're pretty reasonable.
and so like with that, like that's great. And I overall, I mean, I think the adjustments made in this errata are all pretty fair and balanced, as one might say.
I think
So I'm happy for
one
it.
thing on the upgrades is the change with the configuration is definitely bringing that more in line with something I think is a little bit more reasonable, and also helps kind of bring back Damien Aspirant's power level, so he's not quite as powerful as he was before. Now most people talked about Unbound Damien, which is the one obviously he got the big huge fix, but Aspirant is still pretty good, and I think bringing him down a little bit with that configuration change will also help with that, so that you know Unbound is like, okay, I'm not playing him now. Aspirant is ruling the world now,
Sure.
so I think the configuration is kind of a sneaky fix to a lot of things that not only Damien but the rest of his crew could do.
So this does bring up a bit of a topic. So I'm pretty sure this is the first time we've seen a master in particular get a complete and total overhaul like this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've seen anything quite this drastic on a model.
Nothing I
In
can think
this
of.
edition, I think Reva might have been like the closest thing where she got like a massive buff, but I wouldn't say what she was doing was completely and totally warped and changed. So with that thought in mind, do you like this approach? Is this something you'd like to see in further erratas if there's things that are perhaps too good or too bad that just aren't quite working? You like to see stuff that gets totally changed up, you know, breathe a little new life into it.
Well, yes, I would love to see it more. I think more the issue is that it probably takes them a considerable amount of time to be able to do that. So the reason, I mean, you can look at a couple of these changes and say the nerf pad was applied to a model. Damien is one of the more reasonable kind of reworks like that. So I think if they had more people working on it, they would do it to everything, but, you know, limited resources.
Right.
And I think you could argue in this errata that Frostrum, I mean, his card's almost a complete rewrite as well. But, yeah, I would say it's the first time that's been done on that. And I would say that this go-around that they did a good job on it. Hopefully in the future that we don't have to do this again, because especially, and I think it was even pronounced more so, that with Damian Unbound in particular being so powerful, and he was the very first master released at Gen Con last year, that he had a longer than normal period of time where he just was so good. And again, this is mainly for the competitive environments, you know, in your friendly games and stuff like that. It's a little bit less so, but he was ruling the roost until kind of a lot of people decided not to play him. If he had been this broken and he came out, let's say, in March or February, would that have changed anything on how he got changed? I think he still would have been changed, but it would have been, I think, less disheartening for people. Because I know some people have said that, you know, they didn't like the balance that Malfo was at that time. If he hadn't been out for as long as he was, I think that might have been less so. But then would they have instituted such a large change? Probably, because I think it was pretty evident, especially when he got in the hands of some high-end players, how good he was.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I guess, in the roundabout way of saying is I just hope this happen again. If it was kind of a bit disheartening to some people, especially people who were excited about a new master and then the salt mine getting dumped on them, and then just how it could affect other people are like, well, you know, I don't want to play if XYZ is going to show up and he's playing Damian Unbound, he's just going to kick my teeth in and it's no fun for me.
Yeah. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. I think Damian hurt the game and the community. I mean,
oh yeah.
It's the unfortunate truth of the matter. I think he really did just stymie a lot of things. And I mean, after he came out, I mean the Vassal World Tour put in a banned list, for Christ's sake, and like that was unheard of previously. Basically anything for people to just rightfully be able to avoid playing against him. And so I'm very happy with the changes that have been put here, and I'm really hoping that these changes and the seriousness that was applied to the matter helps, you know, rebuild some of that good faith and trust with the game and where it's at from a balance standpoint.
Yeah, and I think it will do that. So far, I think this errata has been accepted as a good thing.
Agreed.
From the community, from everyone I've talked to. And obviously, again, like I said before, the proof's in the pudding once things start getting it. But we also have to take into consideration is that now that Damian and Tull are knocked down a peg or two, something's going to rise to top. Because in every game you're going to play, something's going to be the best and something's going to be the worst. And
I think discovering that's always exciting, though. So, like, I think that puts us in a good place to discover.
And also, too, is it hasn't happened yet, and they kind of reversed the order on the way they did things, is that we have a Gaining Grounds for, I'm sure it's going to be right around the corner, because last year we had an errata, and it was like November, December, and we had the GG right before Gen Con, and then they switched it. So the errata came out right before Gen Con, so I'm assuming we'll probably get a GG sometime around November, December, sometime around there. So, and that's always, I think that always helps bring life into the game. You get that new GG.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, everyone's talking about it. You have 10,000 different podcasts coming about, oh, this is the GG, and these are the schemes I like, these are the schemes I don't like, here's the new strategies, blah, blah, blah. And it just reinvigorates the game.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, like erratas and new GG drops are like just a content mine for podcasts. So like, if it weren't for Gen Con itself, we would have had this recorded much sooner.
Oh yeah, but you know, I'm just very much looking forward to the GG, because I like how it brings new things up,
It's one of the best things about the
Yep.
game, honestly. Shifting up the entire competitive play, like what was good last year may not be good next year. In of itself, it helps with the balancing of the game where, you could have a model that's trash now, but with these schemes, suddenly now this model that was collecting dust is now great.
And I also I think it's kind of interesting, like when people talk about the GG, the new GGs when they come out, they're like, oh, I think we'll do this strategy. I think, we're gonna it'll get played this way or whatnot. And then as the GGs mature, like say for instance this one, how it kind of has, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I don't think a lot of people were talking about how they thought this GG was going to be so combat focus, with basically three of the strategies can be very combat focused because one, you know where models are going to have to be, and then you always have the killy one. And I don't think people talked about that a lot and how it's has matured now that basically people always are talking about how this GG that we're in is very much combat oriented. And
Yeah.
if the next GG will come out and with Weird and the developers and whatnot looking at where this GG has gone, if then the pendulum will swing the other way to a very more scheme oriented, which is always good because then that brings in masters that you don't really see a whole lot of in GG3. And the one that comes to my head is Colette. I mean, she is
Same thought.
awesome, about doing schemes and getting things where they need to be and stuff like that. And you just don't see her in this GG. And then GG4, she may rule the roost in the Arcanist pool of masters.
Hashtag make don't mind me good again.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's I think that's other than obviously the Ashes of Malifaux book when it comes out, that will
Oh
be
yeah.
I think honestly other well the last two books have been a really big huge change in the metas because we've added so many new masters in both books. Obviously the one when we got double masters, that was the biggest one, but then the last one, we got these new masters, and then I'm assuming that in this next book that we won't be getting masters. I don't know. But I think the GG will be more impactful to the change of the game, unless there is a bunch of new masters that come out, than the actual book will be. Because changing the scoring parameters changes the whole foundation of the game.
Oh, absolutely. And they did show off some sculpts at Gen Con that looked pretty sick. There was a thing that looked like a corpse picker, I think is what it's called, from Through the Breach. It's that robot thing that had like a body stuck to it. Because oftentimes Weird likes to take things that have been shown off in Through the Breach books. And they oftentimes show up as models, like notoriously, the hex bows were one of those things that people were clamoring for years because they'd been in the books for a while. So yeah, I saw that thing. I'm like, oh, hey, that looks like the corpse picker or whatever it's called. So like, I'm seeing that and going, let's go, Rezzers, give me something new because I mean, nothing of mine got touched in this errata.
But you should, well, since they actually previewed some of the models, you'll be getting your starter box, so you'll be definitely getting some new stuff in this next release here.
Oh yeah, and I still need to get Castor together. I'm still in that process of contemplating if I'm going to get him commissioned or not. Because honestly, I don't think I could do white skin very well.
Just get some white contrast paint. It will do. If you're not looking for anything great, white contrast paint will make you look like a professional.
Well, that's the issue though, 'cause like I got my fancy painted up EVS crew and it looks so pretty that I feel like I've been spoiled by Haunted. So now I'm like, well, what am I gonna do now? I need to get these vampire dudes all done up nice.
I mean, there is the option of you just getting good.
I am a decent painter. I'm just a lazy painter.
See,
Or
this.
you can just bring that standard bar way, 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 way down, like
I
me.
could do that, but like I derive a lot of enjoyment from having like well painted, well just painted things on the table and such, so.
So you just need
That's
to,
me.
you know, now with your significant other, you guys can have like a painting night where you guys both paint your models together.
That's ultimately speaking, that's probably the thing I should do.
Instead of spending you guys' nights at the club popping bottles.
Yeah, I know
that
Zach,
is.
and I know that is something he does on a weekly
Oh, I'm
basis.
sure. I mean, he'd probably have
Oh yeah, all the
he'd probably
time.
have twice as many models now if he wasn't always spending money at the club.
Yeah, if I wasn't popping them pills and drinking them 40s every other day, clearly I would have more models done.
Exactly.
Shame on me.
Yep. So, any you guys have any interesting games here lately? I think we kind of maybe touched on all the highlights for us on the errata.
So I guess I just demoed quite literally today, Henchman Hardcore for a local shop owner. I had him play some Dreamer stuff, and
Well,
I played my
it
EVS
sounds like we're
stuff,
losing Zach.
and
So,
that was
okay.
fun.
I brought this up because I have an interesting game I want to talk about.
Okay.
So, I was at Gen Con, and I had, in my opinion, what for me was one of my top five games of Malifaux all time. And not because I was super smart or anything like that. It was just a very enjoyable game. And my opponent, Joe, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher your last name, Pecorora from Chicago. He's from the Chicago meta. And we played in round two, and it was Curse Corner. And I don't remember the whole pool, but I took Leave Your Mark and Catch and Release, and he had Spread and Leave, and he took a Seamus one crew, and I had my Euripides two crew. So I'll kind of touch on the highlights of this game. My Yuri two crew was two Garion, a Kaldgeist, Damned, Thune, and Serena. Normally, I don't take Serena in a Yuri 2 crew, but since it's cursed, I think that's a good time to bring her. He had Seamus 1, typical kind of Seamus 1 crew. He had two Dead Doxies with the regen upgrade. He had the White Rabbit Company. He had Bete Noire and Monos. So, out of keyword pick there. So, what made this game so great is the fact that Joe, he kept his eye on the ball. So, turn one, we're in corner, so we're just kind of maneuvering our models. I've got Thune with Yuri 2, so I kind of turn Thune and Corporal, avalanched him up the board. And when it was Thune's turn to go, the only models within my charge range at that time were models with disguise or extended reach. So I just kind of put him in the middle of the board. Actually, I wanted Seamus to go after him because with Incorporeal and Soul Stones, and I have a defense six, unless he gets real lucky, I can keep him alive and should be above half wounds. So sure enough, he goes with Seamus, jumps in on me, shoots me once, only hits me for four, and between Incorporeal and Stones, I actually took no damage. Pulls me in, hits me for two, and then he jumps away. So, Joe's probably only mistake in the game that he made was instead of jumping Seamus back into his crew, he jumped him towards a corner. So, and I'm thinking he can only get a 12-inch jump, so he is within walk charge of Thune. If I can win an ish, this will be good. So, turn two rolls around, and I flip the Red Joker for an ish. So, I'm like, going with Thune. Sure enough, walk charge, put Seamus in a pillar. So as the turn progresses, I can see he's trying to use his Dead Doxies and the White Rabbit Company to get a Dead Doxy over to break Seamus out. So to counter that, I avalanche a Garion up, and he's within walk charge range of his one Dead Doxy hasn't gone and the White Rabbit Company. But obviously, I can't charge the Dead Doxy, and I have a 13 of Rams in my hand. So what I do is I walk charge, hit the White Rabbit Company, and heave him behind the Dead Doxy. So now the Dead Doxy cannot take by the hand the White Rabbit Company to get closer. And if he does it to me, he's going to have to go at an angle, or he's going to be in my engagement range. Well, Joe played it well, and he came up an inch short on breaking out Seamus from his pillar. So, and then we're doing other things, but that was kind of the focus of that turn. Then my major mistake of the game was turn two. Is so I have leave your mark. So what I do is I leap walk my dam into the middle of the board and drop down a ski marker for leave your mark. Well, one mistake was not putting the ski marker underneath me. And two was having him on his side of the board, because here comes Bete Noir, charges my damned, eats my ski marker for another attack, attacks me twice and kills my damned. That was a major mistake. So, okay, so we both had a major mistake. Seamus is buried, my damned is dead, and I didn't score leave your mark that turn. Got it next turn, but I didn't get it that turn. So turn three rolls around. I win Anish again. In fact, if I remember correctly, I red jokered Anish again that turn. So I bury his dead doxy in a pillar. So now he has no models anywhere near his two models that are buried, because Manos is out clear on the other side of the board doing spread them out. So Joe's ahead of me because he's killed something and I haven't. So now this is where Joe gets major props from me. He, spoiler alert, Seamus never got out of his pillar. So Seamus got one activation all game and did a whopping 2 points of damage. But Joe did not get triggered. He didn't, or let's say triggered, he didn't get tilted or anything like that. He kept his eye on the prize. So what he did is he kept all his models away from me until they had to do what they needed to do. And that's why killing the damned hurt me so bad, because I did not have that leap. Because when I charged the White Rabbit Company, I knocked him down to like two wounds, but I never got close to him again. So Joe, he just made sure he was scoring his points. He got tricky. He did put a hat on the dead doxy and moved her to the middle of the board and scored his leave your mark for that. I won't go into the rest of the game because it was a lot of maneuvering around, but Joe won that game 5-4, and I gave him major props for losing his master basically turn two and keeping his eye on the prize, knowing what he needed to do to score and winning that game after he made that major mistake. And then he, not only that, but he capitalized on my major mistake and won the game. So he did a great job. In fact, the only models I killed were the ones that were buried at the end of the game. So that was an awesome game. Joe is a great opponent. All my opponents were great at Gen Con, but that just stands out in my mind. I'm going to be talking about this game for years to come, and I'm probably going to bore the shit out of everybody. It's like, yeah, Scott, you told this story three times. Shut the hell up. But yeah, it was awesome. And Joe capitalized on that great play. He took second at Gen Con, so he did a great job, and hats off to him.
Yeah, it's a great story to hear, for sure.
Next time on Breach Burn, we'll start the episode with this game again.
Okay. We'll just take the track from this and plant it over. Maybe that could be our outro, you know, talking about this game single episode.
Every time.
But yeah, it was a blast. And what was nice too is that this was my first Gen Con I attended, and I had a blast. Was only there Saturday. But had a great time. It was great to see everyone who made it into town, seeing all the indie boys that we see at our local tournaments and stuff like that. So it was a great time, and hopefully we'll have as good a time when us and the indie boys head to Nova, get to see some of these faces again. And it's just, the Malifaux community is just the best. I just love it. I always talk it up.
You really do make me jealous. I want to live someplace a bit more centrally located. Northern Michigan's rough when it takes like 4 or 5 hours just to get out of the state to go anywhere.
Yeah. So, you know, I do have a basement I could rent out to you.
Nah, I'm not going to move to dirty Ohio.
Hey, this is Northwest Ohio. All the dirt gets blown away. So,
hey, man. Like,
or if you don't want the basement, my oldest is going away to college this fall at Ohio State. So I could rent out that room to you.
My buddy Gray lives like 30 minutes away from where Gen Con is held. I'd be more inclined to move over that way.
I mean, sure. I mean, I'm just throwing out options here for you, Zach. I know how much you secretly in your heart of hearts love Ohio.
Uh-huh, sure. I don't know. Maybe then I'll go play with the steam-powered scoundrel guys some.
All right, well, we're getting into Ohio talk, so I feel like that means that
that's
the end.
Yeah. We can't allow positive talk about Ohio here.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know what? After you just said that, Zach, everything makes sense to me. I just realized you play Rezzers. Their color is green. You secretly envy Ohio, which is green for envy. See, it all makes sense now. It's all coming together.
Oh, sure. No, I just grew up with that, oh, how I hate Ohio State stuff. So I'm sorry. It's just ingrained in my DNA now.
It's okay, Zach. We still love you.
It's okay. Anyways, that's been the episode.
I guess before I do the full outro, I did want to just give a quick chill shout out to a Kickstarter that just launched, the Dolmenwood Kickstarter by Gavin Norman. It's a setting that I am currently running a campaign for, something I've been really excited for a long time for this Kickstarter. It's one of the most in-depth settings for kind of the old school type D&D, so I definitely recommend people check that out. Anything from you guys?
No,
No, I'm
other than
good.
Joe's the best.
Yep, shout out to Joe. Do you know Joe's last name?
Joe Pecorora? Maybe,
Okay.
kind of.
I'm not
Joey
yet.
P. There
I can never tell if you're just bullshitting me, Scott,
we
especially because I
go.
can't see your face.
Well, I mean, I just keep you guessing. In that way, you never know what's gonna happen.
Well, yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Hope to catch you next time. Shoot us an email at breachbrew@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Everyone have a good
Join the
night.
Discord.